Night with a brisker concept. We'll use it as we go along, but it's a very interesting concept, and it's one that took me personally quite a while to really to integrate and to fully understand. From the perspective of brisk, you could have a maisa hamitzvah, which is the rabbanon, but the kiyum is a deraisa de kiyum. So how could that be? This is the rabbanon, that's the raisa, what's the pshat? So I'll give you a very simple example, but there are many such examples. There are rishayim that learn that the concept of presumenisa is a derisive concept. It would seem that that's the case. The Gemara has a shayla, right, of toder and presumenisa, which is first. Now, toder is a derisive principle. So, if presumenisa is a derabonon principle, what was the Gemara shayla? Of course, the derisive prevails over the din derabonon. But if presumenisa is a deraisa dika swar, so then you can ask, well, okay, toder b'she'ena toder koydim and presumenisa. Now what happens when the two clash? So that's a shayla that it's worth pursuing. So there is mashmos in that gemara, presumenisa is a deraisa, and we've explored it other times in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in the Ramban, that presumenisa, according to many Rishonim, is a deraisa dikanoshin. Now, how do we mark a particular presumenisa? Well, we could do it freestyle. Listen, I just get up in the morning and decide how I want to mark this presumenisa. It could be freestyle. It sometimes, it would seem, the Torah created the presumenisa. We could say that part of the Seder of Pesach is certainly a Pirsumanes. That's perhaps a chelik of the Seder of Pesach, as the Lamanti Sapar Boz Nevincho Ben Bincho Isa Sheris Alalti Bimitzrayim. That seems to be Pirsumanisa, and that's a derisive concept, because the Torah told us we got the Levincho. The Torah not only defined the end, but the Torah defined the means, the time, the place, the means. Right, in the Rambam, in the 7th parak of Chometz Matzah, gives us a whole settle of things which are all of this. It says is in the mitzvah is Haggadah. It says all mitzvahs magid. A whole list of things which comprise min Torah, mitzvahs magid, as a whole prescription, a whole formula how you have to go about. We have to go about it. So the end and the means are both min Torah. We can have the end as a min Torah, and the Torah left it up to you and me and everyone else to decide how we're going to go about that. And the Rabbanon could have come and created a particular mechanism or mechanisms for that particular end. So we assume presumenis as a deraisa dikadin. There's no question that Neres Chanukah is a din derabbanon. But the status of Megillas Esther, right? We have the two Yomim Tovim, which are not Min HaTorah, that we celebrate. So the status of Purim is that the Rishonim are fighting exactly what it's about. Now, Avnei Nezer explores in a tshuva, and she does a Rambam, that the Rambam holds that since it's Divrei Kabbalah, since it comes from the Nevi'im, from Tanakh, from Nach, so it has a quasi-deraisadik status. And now, then there's a spells out in the tshuva that for that reason, if you have a suffix, B'divrei Kabbalah, that the Rambam holds it's L'chumra. We have suffix deraisa L'chumra, suffix with the Rabban on the Kula. So a suffix in Divrei Kabbalah, in a mitra, which comes from the Nach, which way does it break? The Riyabni Nezer learns in the Rambam, that it just follows the deraisa dika pattern. So if we mean Divrei Kabbalah is l'chumra. The Ran would seem, and others would seem to hold, that it has the status of a sofi derabanan. That's all true about Megillah. because it's a yontif, which stems from the Tanakh. Hanukkah is in Bayashene. Right? The end of the Tanakh era is at the very dawn of the Bayashene. Right? We have the final figures, Ezra, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, the final figures in the that are even Divrei Kabbalah, that in other words, in that are in the Ksuvim. It's already after the Nevi'im ended. But this was the end. But that's at the dawn of the Bayis Sheni. The Nes of Hanukkah is halfway through Bayis Sheni, as the Rambam points out. So, by that time, there's certainly there were no Nevi'im, and there were no, even though figures of Tanakh that had the Ruach HaKodesh in the sense that we relate to it in Tanakh. Now, this is entirely a Din D'Rabbanan. So the mitzvahs that we have are certainly Dinei D'Rabbanan. But the kiyum shabo, the pirsum anes, could be a deraisa dikadin. The mefarsim anes. So we can have the mechanism is medirabonon, but the accomplishment, that which is done through doing the mitzvah, is a deraisa dikadin. It's a very interesting thing, and it took, I don't think, without the house of Bris, we would have this so quantified. But in their very crisp and clear-cut and detailed analysis of things, this is a concept that Brisk defined. It's a very important concept.
What days of the year is Pesach
Nisa Deraisa? Pesach Menes could be Deraisa maybe a whole year that you have to be a far
summer. Where does it say it in the Torah?
Where does it come from? That's a thing. It could come from the Chiyav HaVeidah. There's a Chiyav HaVeidah in the Torah. And you find, as I said, by Pesach, we find it particularly. And, but no doubt that there are Rishonim that learned that Pesach Menes is a deraisa dikadin.
Which Ness?
Any Ness. A Ness that a person experiences, each person has his own Nisan that he experiences, perhaps. And maybe that's the real root. When we make a brocha, she'osali Ness b'mokam hazeh, I came to this place, a person that was in the Holocaust, and he had a nest in a particular place, and his life was saved. If he ever comes to that place again, he has to make a brocha. So if he's mefarsim that nest, he doubled in Tillamir, right? Ubetach Rabbim Mahalalenu, to sing the praises of Hashem Barabim, because to be mefarsim the Siyata Dishmaya, certainly to be mefarsim the Nisim. So we can have a din d'rabbanan in how we do it, but the end result is a deraisa dikadin. Now, what got me thinking in this regard today, I mean, it's not a new notion to me. I remember at the beginning when I had to integrate this brisket notion, it took me a while to get to put my arms around it clearly. Now, what got me thinking about this is a question. And this is a question that the Chacham Tzvi asks. The notion of Neres Chanukah is Ner Ishu Beso. But Beso is the Yesod. As the Taz writes, that if a person, I go out on the street corner and I light Neres Chanukah, if I go in your, forget the street corner, it says the following, if I go to your house and I don't live there and I light in your house, it's the same as lighting on the street corner. That's what the Taz says. And this is obviously no one in their right mind is going to think that the Yotzi were lighting on the street corner. So I'm not going to be Yotzi in your house either. That's so it's a din ner ishu beso. So where did we come to the din that we light on the Beis HaKnesses? Imagine there ought to be a Gemara someplace. A Cholapok is a Medrash. There's no Gemara, there's no Medrash. Where did it come from? It didn't probably exist, and it looks like it did not exist at the time of the Gaonim even. The Rivosh, a Talmud of the Ran, beginning of the 14th century, approximately, writes the following. That, you know, we're used to the intolerance that we experience, we Ashkenazi Jews in Europe. No, we tend to think that the Sephardic Jews had a free ride. But if you read the Sephardic Sfarim, you find out they didn't have a free ride either. Their ride might have been, probably was probably better than the one we had. But it wasn't a free ride by any definition. And there were ebbs and flows, as in today's world, of Muslim fundamentalism. The Rambam started his life in Spain. And eventually he runs away with his father. They run away and they run to North Africa. For what reason? Because the Muslim fundamentalism became unlivable. And the oddest thing in the life of the Rambam, they say, is that he came to the capital city in North Africa of the Muslim fundamentalists. And near Min HaShemayim, it was Ochad that he and Amram, his father, had Menucha. They found tranquility there. Of all places. So, because of that, the Gemara already traced that Deres Hanukkah is not going to be an easy road. Right? The Gemara already said the following. Right? You should light outside your house. If you live upstairs in the Aliyah, you light in the window. And B'shas Sakona, Meirich Ol Shulchan Obadayo. And Rabbi Shulchanoi, I mean, it's sort of self-evident. You know, what is the chiddush of b'shas sakona? I mean, obviously, you don't put your life in danger b'shas sakona. So it could be, you could learn one of two ways. You could learn that, listen, b'shas sakona, you can't light. That's it. You know, you don't do a mitzvah, put yourself in danger. Maybe you can't light inside yourself. You just don't light. So Chazal, though, when they instituted it, they understood full well. Remember, the Bayi Sheni, the greatest proportion of Klal Yisrael lived in Bavel, in Chutz Lars, under foreign dominion. So they had to address what's going to happen. So B'shas Sakona, Golas could bring Shas Sakona to it too. So they said that you have to light anyhow. And it could be there's a Chiddush on the other side. The Rabbeinu Yerucham writes that Shas Sakona doesn't necessarily mean Sakona per se. Sakona's the Foshas. Means any time when it's uncomfortable to light outside, and he says, L'moshel, if they'll steal your menorah by lighting it outside, you can light it inside. You know, it's also a level of intolerance. So that's also, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, included in Shas Sakona. It's also part of Shas Sakona. So Chazal anticipated when they enacted in the mid-Bayi Sheni Hanukkah that it's not going to be such an easy ride. There'll be times when we light outside, and the times when we're not going to be able to light outside. Not even in the window. It's going to be menucha or shulchan or vadayah. Just put it on your kitchen table, and no one should be aware of it outside the house, and that's as far as you're going to go. So, the Rivosh writes that in his time, it's really preceding his time, probably by at least two generations, but the fundamentalism in the Arab world reached such a crescendo that they could no longer light the menorah outside. There were three steps. The first they lit outside, then they used to light up Pesach Habayis, so it was, you could still see it and get a glimpse of it as you looked in the door. And then finally, as we find in the Shulchan Aruch, they lit Lifnim Mamash, disappeared totally inside. Well, this was not only in the world of living in the world of the Christian world. Right? The Rajba lived in the Christian world. But he was in Barcelona. He had troubles with the Christians in Spain. The Ramban, the Rajba, the Ramban for sure. The Ramban had trouble with the Christians in Spain. The Rajba was his greatest Talmud. But the Muslim world, we also had the same thing. The intolerance drove them indoors. So the Rivosh writes, they were concerned, Pesumenisas ultimately is a public exercise. It's not a private exercise. It's not really, the idea of publicizing the Ness is only Bezeramp in a very minimal form if I'm going to light for myself and publicize it to myself. It's quintessentially a public display. And that's why they said you put it outside. It's a public display. It's Barabbam. The Megillah, we read Barabbam. So Shalat's a Chiyav, it's a Milo, whatever, different, you know, there's a Machloikas and Dafhei, and it's Pesach the Megillah, exactly what the role of Rabbam is in Kriyas and Megillah, and Tushitis Rishaynav about it. But there's certainly a Milo and reading it Barabbam. Why? Because there's a Pesumenisa that's involved. So there were troubles that there was no public Persuma Nisa. The public Persuma Nisa disappeared. So the reverse says they enacted a Hadlokas Neiris in the Beis HaKnesses, so that there should be a public level of Persuma Nisa. That's what the Rivosh tells us in a tshuva. Now, this is fine for the Ashkenazim, right? Because we have another machlokes. Tosfos in Masechta Brachos explores it. The Rambam, the Rif. Do we make a broch on a minik? So, Tosfos says we make a broch on a minik. Why? The Horaya Lekach Tosfos says. Yom Tov Sheni Tosfos says is a minik, and we make a broch. So, Mamela Tosfos says if the recitation of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is a minik, so it's a minik, so we still make a bracha on a minik. What's the problem? We're making a bracha on a minik. That's what he writes. So the Rambam and the Sfardish and Rishonim do not agree. They say you don't make a bracha on a minik. So the Rambam in the Yad fends off the Raya from Yom Tov Sheni. Because the Rambam says, Yom Tov Sheni, it's a takana, the Rambam says. At the end of the day, it's a takana. You know, the Gemara says, Minig I was saying be a day, but because of the Minig, there was a takana's chazal. So Mameli says it's a takana, it's not an issue of a Minig. So here we lived in an age where we really, after the Koyach of takana's for Klal Yisrael, the Kamer Rishonim, and so it's a minute. So we should not be reciting a bracha in the Sfardish realm. And the Chacham Tzvi, it's interesting, the Chacham Tzvi was called Chacham. But the Rebbetzin is a descendant of the Chacham Tzvi. But he wasn't a Sfardi. He was called Chacham because he was the Rebbe of a Sfardish Gehila, so they called him Chacham. But his name, curiously, was Chacham Tzvi Ashkenazi. And he was Ashkenazi, said Adi. In the Tshuvas, the Chacham Tzvi, he raises a question. He says, if we could follow Ashkenazi practice, that we make brochas on Minhogim, so he understands why we're reciting the brochas on the Hadlokas, on Eris, and the Beis HaKnesses. But the Sfardim, the Shitose, and the Rivosh is the Sfardia, Talmud of the Ran, that don't make a brocha on Minhagim. So how in the world are they making a brocha on the Hadlokas Neris? And the Chacham Tzvi leaves it with the Kasha. He says he's puzzled. He doesn't have an answer to it. That's the way he leaves it in his Tshuvas. So what I'm wanted to suggest, that's why it crossed my mind today, I mean, it also touches a whole brisket Torah. This is not, but perhaps the pshat is the following. There's a minig of the recitation of Halal on Rosh Chodesh does not have any deraisa dikakim to it. There's no deraisa dikakim to it. So, Mameila, a minig ba'alma, which has no deraisa dikakim, avada, you don't make a bracha according to the Svarta. But let's say the minig in fact has a deraisa dikakim. So then we're not dealing anymore with per se a mitzvah derabbanan per se. We're dealing with a kiyum a deraisa dikakim. So perhaps because there's a deraisa dikakim, the Sfardim will consent in this case to make a brocha. The brochas, the Beis Yosef says the brochas are a chelik of the persuma nisa. That's why you have the brochas. You know, stam to light neiris doesn't tell me why you're lighting neiris. People light neiris for all types of reasons. They light neiris for birthday parties, for chasanas, for Shabbos, for light. There's 100 reasons you could light neiris. Why are you lighting these neiris? So if you make a brocha, la'adik neiris of Hanukkah, shalos anisim, then you made a declaration. This is pirsum hanes. So the Beis Yosef clearly states that the brochas were a chelik of the pirsum hanes that's involved. You know, it may not touch a different lom, the shayla. There's a shayla which really the Rif discusses, in Perek Rabbalaza de Mila, brings a machlaikas. If there's a child is born and there's a suffolk, if he needs a bris, suffolk or la krusha. So it brings a machlaikas, the gainim and the rif, and he brings it if one should recite a brocha on such a mitzvah, such a bris that you're going to do, at least that tofas dam bris, do you recite a brocha or not? And we have this as well, there's a whole issue. Let's say we say Sofik derais of the Chumrah. Let's assume even for a moment that Sofik derais is midurais of the Chumrah. So now, a person did mitzvahs esrog. And after he does mitzvahs esrog, he examines his esrog and he has a Sofik if the esrog is kosher or not. Goes to the Rav is also mesupik. So that's it, we're stuck with the Sofik. So Sofik derais of the Chumrah, he has to pick up the lulav and esrog again, another, but this is now a different esrog. Do you make a brocha on the second go around? So we paskin halacha that we don't. But the Knesset HaGdoyla paskins that you do make a brocha. Sofik deraisa is l'chomro, you chuyiv to do it, chuyiv make a brocha. So I've long contended that this machlekes is a question on what the brocha is intended for. Let's just do a little bit of analysis. If I was yaitz, if the first esrog that I picked up was kosher, so I was yaitz in a mitzvah already. I can't do the mitzvah. There's only once a day you can do mitzvah's esrog. So in the second picking up, I'm not going to be mekayim anything. In terms of maisa ha-mitzvah, I'm doing a maisa. The Torah said I have to pick it up again, so there's a maisa ha-mitzvah. There may not be a kiyum. But if I have to pick up the lulav and esrog, there's a maisa ha-mitzvah. Is there a kiyum? Well, it depends if I fulfilled the mitzvah the first time or not. If I fulfilled it the first time, so I didn't get any place. In case I didn't, I did. So if you learn that the brocha is in the maisa ha-mitzvah, so you could say you make a brocha even on a sofik mitzvah. If it's on the kiyum, so then how would you make a brocha? I don't know if there's a kiyum, so I can't make a brocha. That's what I wanted to taina is the pshat in this machlekes. Ayira Lamdin came to me once, he heard me express this, and he said, I started up with Reb Chaim. Why? Because Reb Chaim brought a raya that the Birchas HaMitzvah, Reb Chaim had the same shayla, Baruch Hashem was mechavan to his shayla, but Reb Chaim brought a raya that the brochas on the Maisa HaMitzvah. Why? Because let's say I appoint a moil. I have a child, and I appoint a moil to be mal my child. So the moil doesn't have a chiyuv to mal. I, the father, have a chiyuv to be mal. So, but the moil makes a brocha. How does the moil make a brocha? How does the moil make a brocha? So he wanted a tainer. The moil makes a brocha because he's doing the maisa hamitzvah. It's on the maisa hamitzvah. So I answered him that I hear a raya of besinish muchrach, because the Ran says, "What's the din of arvus?" Kol Yisrael abreivim zelazeh. That I have a responsibility to help every Jew fulfill his mitzvah. That's part. If I'm a chuyev in the mitzvah, I have to do everything I can in my power that you should be yotzei the mitzvah, and to be yotzei you is part of that. So mameila of the din arvus, there's a din lemay said he has a kiyum too in that mitzvah. The moel also has a kiyum. So you can't bring me a raya from there that it's in the Maisa HaMitzvah. Could be in the Kiyama HaMitzvah too. So he was masking with me that this Yira Lamdan, that I had a good point. So why do I bring this up now? Because the Shaila is, if we assume that it's in the Kiyama, so we're certainly in good shape. The Kiyama is a derisa of the Kiyama, and I have a derisa of the Kiyama. Even if we're to assume that it's principally on the Maisa HaMitzvah, but I'm not sure that I have a problem. Because even if it's on the Maisa HaMitzvah, but since the Maisa has a deraisa dikakiyam, on such a Maisa HaMitzvah, even if it's bitzad minuk, there could be a koveya brocha. Eich shiyya. But I'm just pointing out the parameters of what we're dealing with. Al kalpona, we see the special chashivas that they gave to Pirsum HaNes. We find there's a parallel in one other din that we have. There's a parallel in another din, this din of Barabim. Has a parallel. The Gemara in Arvei Pesachim has a shayla, a well-known shayla. Right? We know we all paskin that ain't kiddush elav makom suda. That we know. Elamai was so. But there happens to be a number in the Gemara, there's a machlekes. Rav says, you don't need Kiddush B'mokum Suda. Shmuel says, you need Kiddush B'mokum Suda. So the Gemara raises an objection to Shmuel. The Gemara says that in Shul, Friday night, they made Kiddush. So we make Abdullah, Motzei Shabbos too. So, Kol Bishlom, according to Rav, so that whoever in the tzivah wants to be yaitzi, but that kiddush is yaitzi. You don't need kiddush b'mokum suda. You heard the kiddush. The same that all the people that don't have families listen in shul. How many of them? And the yaitzi avdola here, and that's it. So you yaitzi kiddush according to Rav Matoyim Marom. So that's a reason to make kiddush for whoever wants to be yaitzi. But according to Shmuel, that ain't kiddush alav b'mokum suda. So it's pointless. What are we doing altogether? Nobody could be yaitzi. Nobody's eating here. So the Gemara answers, La Fuki Orchem Yidechai Vosel. That the Orchem, who wait, according to Tosis, in the side room of the Beis HaKnesses, not in the Beis HaKnesses, because Tosis learns, even though Boti Knesio Shababobala Tanayen Asuyin doesn't allow you to eat in the Beis HaKnesses, it's only a question of Churbonon, when they're no longer being used, what you could do with. But while the Beis HaKnesses is in operation, still also to eat in the Beis HaKnesses, according to Tosis. So Tosis says, they had a guest room. On a side room off the Beis HaKnesses. So the Shaila is the following. According to Rav, I understand, you know, before Aleinu, after they finished Shmon Esrei and whatever, at Morganovus, so the Shamas got up and he recited Kiddush, because listen, whoever in this, like we recite Abdullah, Motzei Shabbos. But if no one in Shul could be Yitzah, it's only a question of Yalotz, Yorcha, Yerecha, Boson. So what in the world did they recite it before all the in Shul for? They should have gone to Aleinu. Everyone should have gone home. The Shama should have gone into the guest quarters where they're going to eat and make Kiddush for them. And I couldn't talk. What's, you know, everyone wants to go home. We're hungry. What are we having episode other delay for? You know, for what reason? This always bothered me in this sugya. So I made an assumption. And somebody brought me, in fact, it's one of two Mahalchim that Doros Arur writes in his Tshuva, the one that I, the way I understood the Gemara. The way I understood the Gemara is that they wanted an inyan of Kedusha Shabbos Barabbah, to be Mekadosh Shabbos Barabbah. And that you can't, each one of us does it at home, but to do it Barabbah, there's no Hecha Timitza. So a Mela, that's the reason that they had it done in Shul. Now, it could be they never would have enacted it unless they were being Yitzhi Savarchim too. But once they had an excuse, they enacted it. But the real kavana, the real agenda of putting it in Shul was to be Mekadosh Shabbos Barabbah, parallel to what we have here by Neres Chanukah, the same type of idea. And that's why, even according to Shmuel, it was in the Chelek of the Tefillah, in the Beis HaKnesses. It wasn't relegated. You know, we have a Shabbos Sheva Brachas. You know, they make Kiddush downstairs. We don't, you know, make a special Kiddush for them here Friday night. So we have a parallel notion then in Neiros Chanukah, from Neiros Chanukah and Kiddush and Shabbos. We do have, in fact, this type of parallel. Pirsum Hanes lies at the very heart of what Chanukah is. It's the very yisoid of Chanukah. Why? Not only in the fact that we're commemorating the Ness of the Neiros. The Maral of Prague tells us that there's an old Shaila that Klal Yisrael has debated across the centuries. Which is the essential aspect of Chanukah? The military victory over the Yevonim of Antiochus and his forces, or the Ness of the Menorah? And this is long debated, and the Maral of Prague takes his position. The Maral of Prague and the Agudas in Masechta Shabbos and Bama Madlikin tells us he has no doubt whatsoever that the Yonta was enacted to commemorate the military victory. That's what the Maral Miprag says. So Elamai, he has a kasha, a Meneyo Bei kasha from the Gemara on himself. What's his kasha? His kasha is, the Gemara says they had the victory, and a year later, they enacted Nescha. Now by Purim we don't find this 1 year delay. They won the victory and on tomorrow they celebrated. Right? It says Yudala they won in Shushan, and on the 15th, the next day they made a celebration. The other places the Muhammad was on Yud Gimel, they celebrated the next day on Yudalad. So if we're dealing that it's to commemorate the Nes of the Menorah, then you know why it took it the next year, because they didn't know the Nes of Menorah till Hanukkah was over. So next year they made a Yom Tov. But if it has to do with the military victory, so that they knew they had the military victory. So why didn't what did it take a whole year to celebrate for? To decide if they're going to celebrate. That's the Marami Prague's Kashan himself. So the Marami Prague answers the following, that they were not convinced that there was anything miraculous in the military victory. No. Until they saw the Nes of the Menorah. When they saw the Nes of the Menorah, then they first comprehended that their victory in the Melchama was a Nes. But it's very interesting. And it tells us a lot about what we are in this world. The Allah Nisim tells us that there were two striking aspects of the victory over Antiochus. Rabin biyad ma'atin, begiborim biyad chaloshim. There are two indices by which you measure a military. As Douglas MacArthur said, if you get involved in a land war in Asia with China, you're off your mind. I mean, you couldn't manufacture enough bullets to kill all the Chinese that there are. You know, so how are you going to fight such a country that has 1 billion people? Is he out of your mind if you get involved in such a war? It's Rabin Biyad Ma'atim. Just the numbers, the numerical superiority is such that there's no way you're going to deal with this. That's one thing. There's a second indice. It's Gburim Biyad Chaloshim. What's the training, the morale, the leadership, the armament? That also is a determinant in war. So one side may have greater strength numbers than the other, but the other's Gibur. The troops have greater motivation, better leadership, better training, better armaments. So if you have one side has numerical superiority and the other has Giborim Biyad Chaloshim, you have a war which is going to be a very interesting war. The reality is that the defeat of Germany, Hitler Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, was ultimately because of Rabin Biyad Ma'at. The Rabin defeated the Miat. In a qualitative sense, they had the best troops on the battlefield. The historians write they had the best equipment on the battlefield. In those measures of strength, of gvura, they surpassed everyone else on the battlefield. But their demise was because they were fighting the whole world. So they could not, ultimately, they were worn down by the massive numbers of their enemies. They just couldn't keep on replacing forever that which they lost. So that's what defeated them. But if you have in war both numerical superiority and gvura, qualitatively the best army, normally in this world you win the war. Normally. And they won Antiochus lost the war. So you stop to think, well, that's pretty impressive. This must be a miracle. Well, they didn't ascribe it to a miracle. Greater morale, home country, you know, the territory, all the excuses that you could make. And they missed the fact that it was a Nes. They were not convinced it was a Nes. Then the menorah started burning for 8 days. Now, this cannot be explained away. You don't fill up a menorah with one day the Shabbos candles. Don't burn the whole week. They burn a little more, a little less each week, depending on the atmospheric conditions in your dining room. But they're not burning still on Sunday morning, no matter what you do. Doesn't happen. So, once they saw that, then they started to comprehend. They did a new analysis of the Milchama, and they realized, you know, this was truly a miraculous event. So the next year, they first enacted a celebration. It's Chanukah, as the Gemara says in Erechin. There is a celebration of a Ness. So they first now realize the Ness of the Milchama after the Ness of the Menorah. So this is, so it's not an easy process. The reason it's not an easy process is because we live in this world, and we must live in this world according to Derech HaTeva. That's the way we live. There's a time that a farmer plants, a time that he doesn't plant. There's a way you make investments if you want to succeed. You know, you could do things upside down, and somehow once in a while you'll get a brocha, but that's not the way you proceed in life. Life has its principles of how you do each particular activity, and if you want to succeed, you follow those principles. And that's the world the Rebbeinu Shem placed us in, that we should follow Derech HaTeva. What are the normal principles of how you succeed in this business? You know, if you need a business that needs a heavy traffic of people to succeed, you don't rent a place that's at a back road someplace that three people a month come to. You know, if you want to have a research facility that you're not interested in retail customers, and to the contrary, the quiet and the tranquility and the fact that you're not disturbed is important. Yeah, so go find a place at the end of town someplace where there's two, three people a month that come. It's a great place to be, to run your laboratory. That's fine. But if you're running a retail business, you're trying to sell bread and milk, not the place to be. There's a Derech HaTeva. So everything in this world we do according to Derech HaTeva. We become so used to doing the things in Derech HaTeva that if we see the entire world, I'll be Derech HaTeva. That's the way we comprehend the world around us. Until the Rebbeinu Shem jolts us. Listen, the Ness of the Menorah, I can't stuff it back into the box of Teva. As hard as I try, it just doesn't go. So now I realize the Rebbeinu Shem is up to Nisan. If he's up to Nisan, now I can understand what looks like Teva. And that's really essentially, this is the quintessential lesson of Chanukah. Remember, Yovan is the beginnings, the root of Western society. Rationalism, understanding the world around us, the beginnings of the scientific process. Exploration, understanding, and they're tremendous, awesome chokhmah. Awesome chokhmah. Had I figured out how long the year was, I mean, just imagine the chokhmah. That they put a stick or whatever, measuring the shadows, and when it came back to that point again, they were able, you know, they had a whole cheshbon, they were able to figure out how long the year was. Awesome chokhmah. Right? We have the basics of mathematics, it's from that era. Euclid and others, Pythagoras, the beginnings of Western chokhmah, of rationalism. And they looked at the world in a very rational sense, combined with their avodah zarah, but they were rationalists. And what was the point of the Ness of Chanukah to the Jews? They said, "En lo in lochem chelek b'elokei Yisrael." That was the Greek motto. God, you have a God in this. What are you drinking a cup about? And the point of Chanukah was that by grasping the Ness of the Milchama was to grasp a much larger truth. As Adam Golder used to put it, that everything that takes place in the world, it's also Rotzon Hashem. What did Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, how did he put it? In the very famous Gemara on Shabbos. Right? He lived in tremendous poverty, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. Awesome poverty. And it came on Erev Shabbos, and they didn't even have oil to light a kova, a ner or two for Shabbos. Nothing. So what did he do? So we told his daughters, take a little vinegar and pour it into the Shabbos leichter. Put a wick and light it. And it worked. And he said, well, why? Very simply. Why? Shemen burns? Why does it burn? So Rav Chanina ben Yosef understood. It's not the teva per se. The teva is that way because it's a Dvar Hashem. The Rabbeinu Shalom said that this chayfetz should burn. If the Rabbeinu Shalom said, I don't want that chayfetz to burn anymore, you can take all the gasoline in the world and dump it into all the cars and put the cars on and step on the gas pedal, nothing's going to happen. There's a Dvar Hashem that says, you know, this chayfetz, this material should react in this fashion. But it's the constant will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which makes it happen. If the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for an instant changes his mind, say, we can't have the haba, it's it, it's petered out, it's over, that's it. All the oil in the world will be useless. There won't be anything to do with it. So that's what Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa taught his family. That same Rabbeinu Shel Olam that gave Shem and the Koyach Lahadlik, he can give chaimitz the koyach lahadlik too. It's the same Dvar Hashem. Teva, as the Chazon Ish defines in a letter, is rotzon hayeser masmit shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the most constant will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's teva. But it's teva is the expression, as the Ramban tells us at the end of Bo, is the expression of the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it is. It's the expression of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's. And this was the essence of what Hanukkah was. Hanukkah was that through on this seeing the Nes of the Menorah allowed us to comprehend that the Melchama was miraculous. And from that, from Nisan, and Nisan veiled Nisan, and that was what's perhaps what was most important, not open Nisan. Because that was not the issue. The issue was to understand the veiled Nisan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hanukkah brought us directly to the veiled Nisim. What was a veiledness? And we saw now that Rabbanu Shalom's hand in veiled Nisim. And that was the ultimate limit of Hanukkah. Look at the world around us. This world is not eternal. It has a beginning. It has an end. It has a balabira. To comprehend that, they believed the world was eternal. That's what was always here. Right? So now, as I say, I always state, the word Bereishis we all agree to now. All the besnagdim to our adversaries, and we all agree now. There was a beginning. Right? They call it the Big Bang, whatever they want to call it, Minishkanaf Kamina. But everyone agrees there was a Bereishis. It started someplace. Comprehend the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the essence of what Hanukkah is. Pirsum HaNes, especially as a derisive notion, to open our eyes to understand the world around us. And Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch taught us something that's phenomenal. And the truth is, as technology advances, Rav Hirsch, his teaching becomes in fact even more phenomenal and more compelling. Rav Yitzchok Elchanan, the Rav, the Kovner Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he wrote a Haskama for Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch and his parish on Chumash. He went to the Gadol HaDor and he asked the Gadol HaDor to give him a Haskama. And Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch wrote a Haskama. In the Haskama, he goes out of his way to praise Rav Hirsch for his definition of Melacha. This caught Rav Yitzchok Elchanan's eye, and he particularly praises Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch for his definition of Melacha. What did Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch tell us about Melacha? Melacha is not a Vaida. It's not a question, are you working hard and you schwitz and you have to rest? That missed the whole point of Shabbos. Yomashi Shabbos Lashem Alokecha is a medrash, and the Ksav Sefer discusses at the end of Yisro. It's not focused on our rest, it's focused on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And he said, Melocha means the skilled things that people do, how we in fact manipulate the world around us. We take its materials and we put them to work for us. We create things from them. We take the wool and we make begodim. We take seeds and we plant and we produce crops. We build buildings. Man's mastery of the world around us. And that's where we stay our hand on Shabbos. That's melocha. That's what melocha is. And as I say, as time goes on, it becomes more and more compelling. You know, the world says, oh, they had to chop wood to make a fire, but you know, so nowadays it's just a switch. What's the problem? Avshamash Reform Hur says they have it totally backwards. Shabbos, by withstanding our hand, is to underscore that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the Baal HaBayis. It's his world. The greater our technological achievements, and the easier it is to manipulate the world around us, then we need Shabbos even more. To remind ourselves, we're not the Baal HaBayis here. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the Baal HaBayis. You know, a guy that had to break his back to get a loaf of bread till he found he had something to eat wasn't such a big Baal HaBayis in this world. In today's world, what a wondrous world we live in, the technology. It can be any place in the world. You know, my chaver ran a yeshiva in Muncie. So there was a kiddush Shabbos. So Friday afternoon, Friday morning, the Baal HaBayis came to the, was making the party, came. And the air conditioning wasn't cool enough in the building for her tastes. So she went to complain. So they called up my friend, he was in Europe at the time. He went online and he reset the air conditioning. Oh, what a wondrous world we live in. It's just amazing. You don't have to be in the place, you don't have to go down, you don't have to touch anything. That's it. Go on your computer. And the world flies. We can think, become heady about ourselves, that we're great. So Rav Shamshon of Allah told us, that's where you need Shabbos more. With each step forward that we go technologically, it's easier and easier to lose sight of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So we need Shabbos more and more, not less and less. This was the phenomenal insight of Rav Shamshon of Ohrish. And that's what Chanukah. Chanukah was a ness to open our eyes of the menorah, to open our eyes to the ness of the Muhammad, and to open our eyes to all the veiled nisim through which the Rabbeinu Shel Olam operates in this world. I can't imagine a greater and more important lesson today in an age when we need increasingly to focus on awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was axiomatic to our grandparents and our great-grandparents is halavai we understand a fraction of it with all the knowledge that we have. Their awareness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's presence. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael.